Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all the campuses in St. Louis. Come on, St. Louis, you can do better than that. Florida's rowdy today. Man, you can be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, you sing really well. I noticed that today. Don't you love it when people sing at church? Come on, you know. You always got some people that are embarrassed to sing. They don't sing at all. You got some people that act like they're auditioning for The Voice. Come on, right? They're waiting for you to turn your chair around and go, woo! Never heard anybody sing like that. I was just thinking today, this morning as I was driving over here, about the goodness of the Lord. And actually, in my mind, it's kind of interesting. Some of you that might be new, or even people at the church all the time at Earth City today, we see thousands of people at these campuses. And my mind and my heart is there every Sunday. I pray over the hallway that you walked into at Sunset Hills today with the fireplace and all that. I see it in my head, and I walk down the kids' space and see the big, you know, gorilla hanging up in the top of the wall. And I go into Earth City and see the hallway and the rotunda in there, and the little carousel for the kids. And at Ferguson campus, I pray that the protection of God goes up and down the aisles and into the portico and into our greeters team and all of our staff there, volunteers. They have a room there, and I pray that they keep that door shut, because it drives me nuts when that door is open. Come on, somebody. And Weldon. And then every campus I go in, RPC, I go into those, and I pray for you. I want you to know today, when you came to church, that the power and the presence of God, not just me, but our staff and people have already prayed over there. And whatever you came in with today, you're not leaving with it. You're leaving blessed, healed, delivered, favored, stronger, anointed. In fact, the devil's so mad that you came to church today. Come on, one more time. Give it up for just a prayer-conditioned church. I was in Atlanta this week, and I got on the tram that takes you to the car. And if you've never been to Atlanta Airport, it's literally so big. It's like a city. And I got on the tram deal that takes you to the car rental. And there was a guy that was high, and he had his stuff strung out everywhere in his bags. And you could tell, it appears that he lives there. And I was looking at him and kind of observing him and felt sorry for him, as I oftentimes do. You've done the same thing. And when I left, I knew, you know, he wasn't begging for money, but I knew he obviously could use money. And so I gave him some money and then went on about my business and did all the meetings that I had to do. And the next day, I came back to return the rental car. And got on the tram. There's only one tram. And when I got there, there he was again. But this time, there was this African-American woman who had got on with me. And she sat down on the tram. I want to show you the video of what she did.
A good church mother right there. She witnessed it to a man, giving him money. Every time I'm on here, that guy's on there. And I watched her try to get that guy saved the whole trip. Amazing. Some good church mamas.
Come on, give it up for the church mama right there. Come on, you can do better than that. Right. And I don't know, other than I felt really, really, really convicted. Because as I watched her do what I did, she did it differently. She sat there. She had the money in her hand. She was down. When I came, I was standing up and just gave it to him because I don't know. It's not that I didn't have compassion for him. But she still believed that maybe he could be reached by the gospel. She still believed that no matter what, you're going to be looking at this money, but you're going to look in my eyes, and I'm going to pray and tell you that your mama somewhere is praying for you, and there's probably a grandmother somewhere praying for you. And I don't know what happened to you to cause you to try to match this pain today. And she prayed, and then when I walked off for the bus, I thought, man, I've messed this up. For some reason, through my life's journey, I've lost some context of what God can do, the power of salvation, the power of the spoken word, looking somebody in the eye, And you remember this in the Bible, two men came and there was a beggar at the gates and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. And by the way, if you study it out, it wasn't that they didn't have money, they did have money. But they knew that some things money won't fix. There's a lot of things in life that money won't fix. There's a lot of things in life money will fix. Thank God. Anybody ever had a situation where you knew money would fix it, but you didn't have no money? Come on, raise your hand. But there are situations in life that nothing could fix it but God. And as I looked at him and I looked at her, I thought, man, David, what's wrong with you? How can you pastor a church? Have you lost the desire that you once had? And I know I haven't lost the desire, but somehow I've lost the spark to think that that one person, drug-infested, out of their mind, that God could literally, that woman believed, God just might sober him up right now. God might just deliver him right now. I didn't come to church on Easter and Sunday morning and Sunday night. I never spoke a word to the woman, but I knew the woman had been with God. I knew that she loved God. I knew that she had the power the presence of God on our life, and it convicted me, and I want to bring it to you today and say, all these fingers are pointing back to you, but we got one job to do, and that's win the lost at any cost and preach Jesus crucified. And today, I wish I had half a church to say, I want to change the world. The hope is not in politics. It's corrupt in America. It's nasty in America. It is a slime ball, crime-infested mess in the United States of America. But there's one hope, and his name is Jesus. And he's coming back, and it's happening in the local church. Somebody ought to give him praise today. The last time I checked, Jesus said, my great commission is go into all the world. Preach the gospel. We go to church, and I love church. Man, do I ever love church? I mean, I'll just love church because I pastor church. I grew these churches because I really love church. Like, I love church. Like, as a kid, if you wanted to punish me, even my kids, if I wanted to ground Ashton, all you had to do is say, I won't let you go to church, and she'd behave. We love church. My grandson loves church. Church is the greatest place in the world. Church is your heartbeat of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The greatest thing you could ever do with your life is help build a church. Honestly. But I think sometimes church, if we're not cautious, even at our church, we say, bless me, help me. I want to feel goosebumps for me. That's my song. That gives me, you know, oceans just takes me on like a hyper, you know, goosebump mess, or, you know, when you start saying, you are more than able, even I, Lord, can you, oh God, I like it the way it makes me feel. But this gospel wasn't just for bless me, help me. He said to go into all the world to preach the gospel. So I see people sometimes say, oh yeah, Pastor David, will you help my GoFundMe account? I feel like I want to go to China and preach. You've never witnessed it, Panda. Come on now. If you never tried to share your faith at Panda, I'm going to try it again over here. I wish somebody helped me there. If you've never opened up a fortune cookie and said, you know what? Well, I got this fortune cookie open and I'm going to read it to you. I want to also tell you about something that's better than a fortune cookie. I'm here to tell you that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even to the depths of the earth. I wish to God somebody would understand. So people always wanted to go somewhere else and preach, and God's saying, no, I'm calling you right here, right now, on the tram to witness to this guy. Or at work. Well, at work, I certainly don't want to talk about politics and religion. No, I get it. I don't blame you. It's smart. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about what happened to you. When you tell your story, you told what happened at Starbucks, you told them what happened in traffic, you told them what happened at the weekend, you tell them everything. But if you fail to tell them, if it hadn't have been for Jesus, let me tell you my story. Our marriage wouldn't have made it. I remember when I was sick. I remember when my wife had stage 4 cancer and it wasn't looking good. And they said she'd never have a baby. And we cried out to God and God healed her. And now we got a baby singing today at Earth City. And I'm just here to tell you that our testimony affects other people. And they realize we serve a living God, a living God. He's not dead. Our God's not dead. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. Big old, you know, statues of Buddha, and they bring him cigarettes and they bring him donuts, and they say, don't eat the donuts, because they know he ain't eating the donut. You put a donut in front of a regular preacher, you ain't got to put a sign. It's gone. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. But Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. Mussolini's dead. But Jesus was dead, but he resurrected himself, and he came back on the third day, and he is a living, resurrected Savior that is here right now on a tram to deliver a drug addict in your basement to bring that kid out that's acting a fool. He's there right now while your husband's at home on a drunken stupor. I'm telling you, ain't nothing God can't do. He's alive. Somebody in Sunset ought to go crazy right now. I like that organ. Yes, I do. If you ain't got an organ, you're at the wrong church. I was with Joel Osteen last week, and even they have an organ. Check this out. In Ezekiel, it's Ezekiel the prophet. He has a revelation and a run-in with the Lord, and here's what the Lord said. He told me, son of man, eat what you see. Eat this book, talking about the Bible that you're reading out of right now. Then go and speak to the family of Israel. As I opened up my mouth, he gave me the scroll to eat. In other words, I'm hearing the word of God, and then I'm living it out. He said, son of man, eat this book. Put this in your heart. I'm going to give it to you. Make a full meal out of it. So I ate of the word of the Lord. I came to church. I tasted it. It was so good. It was like honey. The Lord's good. Then he told me, son of man, go to the family of Israel and speak my message. Look, I'm not sending you to people who speak a hard language, or I'm not sending you to some country that you don't speak the language. He said, hey, I want you to reach the people that are right here, right now in your sphere. The Bible said that he that winneth souls is wise. It's a wise thing to tell people about Jesus, to tell them your story. And not in an awkward way. I don't like it when people come up and say, you know, you don't even know the people and you're out witnessing and you're like, if you died today, do you know, would you go to heaven or hell? That's an awkward conversation. They're probably going to tell you to go to hell. But when you just get to know people and they know that you care about them and you're asking about them and you go over and help them with their yard, you go over and help them with some groceries. You go over and act interested in their kids and life and have conversations. Then when you have this connectivity and you're playing what I call the long game. I play the long game, and I play the long game so well that I'm not so good at the short game like the lady was on the tram. Mine is more relational. So if I don't have a relational change with you, I don't think, you know, but I need to learn both. She schooled me. But the long game would be that you get to know people and you invest in people and you love on people and you know their story. And then at the right time, because they know who you are and they know the God you serve and they know your story and you never tried to cram Jesus down their throat. Are you listening to me? Come on, raise your hand. Well then, everybody. Then at the right time, they'll come to you and they'll go, hey, can we talk about this? My wife just found out. My dad just found out. There's a report, and it's that moment when you can go in and you can tell them, I know God can do it. Yes. Remember it said, eat this book. See, when you're coming to church, what you're doing is you're filling yourself up with the word of God. And then now, out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaks. Let's all shout that at every church. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sounds good. One more time. What? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you go to church and you're singing these songs on a Sunday and you remember what the Lord did for you and that the word's just getting into you in repetition, muscle memory's kicking in. And then when they ask you to pray, you're like, oh, I know how to pray the sinner's prayer. With Joel today on Sirius Radio, every 30 minutes, at the end of Sirius Radio, every 30 minutes, 24 hours a day, he's going to say this: I never like to close a broadcast without giving you the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus as personal Lord and Savior of your life. Would you pray this prayer with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Come into my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. I'm going to serve you faithfully all the days of my life. And then he's going to say, and whatever you do, get in a good Bible-believing church near you. And if you want to come to Lakewood, we always make you feel at home, right? Now, the devil's attack in Lakewood, there was no shooting at the Super Bowl. There was a shooting, a mass shooting that tried to happen that was not a mass shooting. Thank God to their wonderful security team like we have. Give it up for all the men and women at the security team that helped it. But why did the devil attack Lakewood? Because the devil doesn't want people getting saved. And for the people who say, well, you believe in the devil? I don't believe in the devil. Well, clearly the devil has convinced you that there is no devil. There is a devil. But thank God there is a God in heaven that has power, supreme power, and has given us authority over principalities and powers and rulers of the earth. Raise your hand if you're following me. Come on, raise your hand and follow me. So what do we need to do? We need to make sure that we are putting the word of God in our heart faithfully, so when trouble comes and trials come, we can help those people, because here's, at the end of the trail, there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. You know, the Bible talks two-thirds more about hell than it does heaven. He said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Now, here's the interesting thing about God. Is he would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. How many of y'all are surprised that God has been so patient with you? Raise your hand. How many of y'all really got a lot of things that you're like, man, I've repented over that like way too many times. I would be like, I give up on you by now. Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you're a habitual liar. Let's try that one more time so you don't go to hell from church. Okay. And that's why the word is so cool. You know, when the Bible says, he that wins souls is wise, I used to think that meant like, you're a smart person if you win people to Jesus. And it does mean that, but what it means more than that, a wise man told me not long ago. He said, you know what that actually means? And I said, well, tell me. He said, he that wins souls is wise. You have to eventually become wise to win souls, because you have to understand a lot about a lot. Because people will come to you and go, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. That's just to shut you up. There's a hole in everyone's soul that's seeking for God. Like a little honey pitcher. They're looking for it for somewhere, some way. So here's why we should be evangelistic. Here's why we should invite people to church. Here's why we should use all of our energies to try our best to keep people from going to hell. It's because deep down in their soul, they really do want it. So well, you could have fooled me. They don't act like they want it. Oh, they want it. They want it really bad. In fact, they want it so bad that they had to start doing all kinds of things to try to cover up the hole in their soul. Do you remember, let's go here, at all the churches today. Remember when there wasn't a Walgreens and a CVS on every corner? Come on, raise your hand. If you didn't know, there's a Walgreens and their competitor, CVS, on every corner. Why? Because all the time, we're trying to cover up something. Do you toss and turn and you have trouble sleeping at night? Yeah. Anybody ever seen these commercials? Well, then you need Lunesta. And then the butterfly comes in and the song goes on, right? You're like, oh, and it shows a person just sleeping. You're like, oh, I need Lunesta. And then at the bottom, it says, hey, it's going to cause irritable bowel syndrome. You're going to wet the bed. Pancreatic cancer. Come on, somebody. There's side effects to all this stuff. But how did we get here where we can't sleep? For everybody, it's a different story. So then we go a little further and say, I still can't sleep. I got Lunesta. Then I need gummies. If you notice that there's gummy stores now on every corner, there's little signs across from our new church. Before we could get the church built in Fairview Heights, they put a building across the street on the highway and a big sign that says, Arise. I thought it was a church. It just said, Arise. Okay. And it had like a big old arrow going up. And I thought, praise God, another church. Arise. But no, they're saying, we got Delta 8, we got Delta 9. We need to get you high to numb the feeling. But on the other side of the highway, oh, come on, somebody. I said on the other side of the highway, we're building a church and say, we serve the Most High that can deliver you, that can cleanse you,
can help you. I wish somebody would get excited about it today. We don't have to cover it up. We don't have to mask it up. We don't have to alleviate it. We can eradicate it. Give God praise today. Come on, shout praise to God. I'm just trying to cover something up. It's real. I get it.
Then you get the munchies, and then you get fat, and then they get you on a Weight Watchers, and you're like, man, I'm in a spiral. Facts. Four and six, it says, then he told me, son of man, go to the family of Israel and speak my message. Look, I'm not sending you to a difficult language that you can hardly pronounce the words. I'm sending you to the people of Israel. They won't listen to you. They won't listen to me. He said, they're a hard case. They're hardened in sin. Think of America right now. Hardened in sin. But I'll make you as hard as they are so that you're able to not be intimidated. They won't intimidate you. Don't be afraid of them. Let's all shout that. Why? Don't be afraid of them. Even though they're a bunch of rebels, don't be afraid. Here's something. The Bible says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear will keep you back. When I watched that little African-American woman do what she did with that young man, she never looked up one time to see 20 or 30 of us standing there with our luggage watching her. She was focused on him. And I think she was focused on him because she had been focused on him, and she didn't have any fear of what any of us were saying. She wasn't looking to impress us. She was looking to make an impression on him. To her, this mother was saying, what if this is my boy? What if this is my boy? I guarantee you somewhere there's a mama praying for that boy. And that God would send laborers beside him and minister to him. And she realized, I might be flying today. I might be on business today. I might have a lot of things to do today. But my priority right now is to let you know that Jesus died for you, that he loved you, and I believe in you, young man. And you're going to stop living on this train, and God's going to do something great in your life. And I can see him in his drug-infested state looking at her kind of like, this is going on so long, I could bring out my phone and video it for you. I knew as I was convicted, not condemned, but convicted. I knew what I was preaching Sunday. I was going to tell you about my mistake, and I was going to tell you how I messed it up. In day two, God said, let me show you, big boy, how you do this, Mr. Professional. Highly trained. Here's how that's done. Sometimes it's too late. I remember one time when I was a young man, he that went to Souls is Wise, and we there in St. Louis, we passed out tracts, 150,000, me and Shelby and a few other people. We're just teenagers, but my goal was to be evangelistic. And we had these tracts that said free on them, and we put them in the stadium downtown on every car, enough to where they'd call the cops on us. We didn't care. Went to the mall, did it there. There was always a desire in me to reach people. And I look back now at certain things that would have never happened if it hadn't been for me putting that card there. That's why even today at the gas station, I still put the promotional flyers everywhere. I am the big promoter. If there's strip clubs putting them on and I get in my car, it's like, come to strip clubs, come to Billy's, come to Gilly's, come to Dance Soda. I'm going to try to compete with those people. And there was a girl named Kim. True story. Kim was at Crestwood Mall, if you remember in St. Louis back when they had it. Now they tore that down. But at Crestwood Mall, she came there, and she got in the car. She took the track off the windshield, threw it in the car. A few days later, she was suicidal, going to commit suicide, and she looked down, and she saw that track. She read the track, Kim did. Came to my daddy's church. I wasn't the pastor. And she got delivered. and got saved. Changed her life. And she married a guy named Dale Byer, Dave Byer, there in our city today running sound. If you look at the sound booth, Dave, wave your hand at him. That's Dave Byer. Dale is his brother. Dale ends up marrying that woman, Kim. They ended up starting a family. Had children. Raised the kids. Still alive today. Why? Because somebody put a track that made somebody's heart go, wait a minute, maybe God does love me. Maybe God can save me. Maybe I haven't made so many bad mistakes that I went past God's love. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. I want everybody to shout, I don't have a spirit of fear.
I don't have a spirit of fear.
I have a spirit of power and of might and a sound mind. Then verse 10 said, then he said, son of man, to get all these words that I'm giving you inside of you, listen to them obediently and make them your own. Make them your own. Make them your own. Everybody shout that with me. Make them your own.
Make them your own.
In other words, you have to tell your story. You got to have your story, your elevator speech, what God's done for you, and you're saying that to your friends and neighbors. Now, God wants to use us to change people's lives, and here's the issue with it. If we keep the Bible said, how shall they hear except they have a preacher? How shall they hear except one be sent? You're sent. So here's also what we got to be careful of on television. I think Taylor Swift was really cool the other night in Australia. She broke all records, and she had the largest concert there in Australia, and they had 96,000 people night one. She sold out 96,000 people night two, and she sold out 96,000 people night three, and she charged sometimes $1,000 a ticket for some of these, and I pray that Taylor gets saved and starts coming to our church and believes in tithing. But think about all those people. Then when you actually do the numbers of when God told us to go on television, you know, like the Allegiant Stadium, where they had the Super Bowl that you just watched recently that holds 65,000 people, our Nielsen ratings just in Palm Beach and St. Louis last year, we would have filled, that's how many people watched it, we would have filled that stadium 365 times. So 365 times, that's how many people watched the program last year. We did not ask for any money. Subsequently, we didn't get any money because we're not there to ask for money. You know what we're doing? We're playing the long game with a lot of people who are lost and on their way to hell, strippers, presidents. They turn that on and they go, wait a minute, it gave me hope. It recalibrated my brain. And I realized that Jesus is not pointing the finger at me this way. He's pointing at it this way. Now, here's what we got to make sure that we understand. We have to for sure understand that just because our church does that and your tithes and offerings do that, when you give every week, that's what's going to happen. But it does not forego the fact that you and I still have to do the one-on-one. Not going to China. I'm not against us going to Guatemala and building houses. We do that. I'm not against us having ambulances and hospitals in Haiti. We've done all that. I'm not against all the churches that we have built that are standing there today. Do you realize there's almost 20 churches in India that are concrete, that have a well outside, that say Faith Church on the outside, that are having church today? That's all good and that's great. But what about the person next to you at work? What about your neighbor that, you know, last week we had the event in St. Louis and packed it out at our city with the women's event, and that's happening this Thursday right here in this room. What about inviting your people from work to come to that? Let's think about that. What are you doing? I have a question. Has this church really, really extremely helped you in a big way? Don't raise your hand if it didn't, like in a big way. It's like, man, this church helped me. So the question would be, why would you keep it to yourself? Why don't you and I go tell somebody our story to where people understand? Well, I don't want people, they're already, I don't know. I don't want to think I'm weird. They already think you're weird. You know, it's going to be really weird if they die and go to hell. And part of hell, so you know, so you don't know much about hell. Here's part of hell. Part of hell is looking at heaven. You talk about major FOMO. You're in hell, and part of your torture is looking at your friends in heaven. So you'll see friends and family members that are in heaven while you're in hell. Wouldn't that be hell? By the way, people say this is hell. My internet didn't work this week. AT&T, I lost service almost all day. It was hell. I couldn't text anybody. My life was hell. That's not hell. You got other people, he that when his souls is wise, right? They'll say, oh, I'll go to hell and I'll sell ice cream. No, you won't. There's no ice cream in hell. There's no ice cubes in hell. You'll go to hell, and the Bible said there'll be screaming and gnashing of teeth. So if we really believe there really is a hell, raise your hand if you believe there really is a literal hell. And how many of y'all believe there is a literal heaven? Well, we want to go to heaven, and we want to take as many people with us as we can, and we're not going to do it by being silent. We're not going to do it by the devil muzzling us. What we're going to do is we're going to give tracts out everywhere. We're going to invite everybody. So when they think Easter, they know, I know who to ask. The Easter Bunny. I know who to ask. The church mama. Because deep down, when you saw that video of that lady, did you respect her in a big way? Raise your hand. Did you feel somewhat convicted? Like, man, I need to do more of what she did. That's what we need to do. As I wrap this up, I'm almost done. My grandmother was a great preacher. And she would tell me stories when I was a little kid. And she weighed about 300 pounds. And she would always wear sundresses. Anybody ever had painted the picture of my grandma? I loved her so much. And she just liked it because it kept it loose because pants were too tight. Everything was too tight. But a sundress, she could just keep getting them bigger and enjoying her life. And she did so. She loved the Lord. And I would sit on her lap. And the problem is when you got a bigger belly, her lap was only this big. And I would sit on her lap at 9 years old, 10 years old, and I put my hand on the back of her neck. And anybody ever felt anybody that was kind of bigger and they sweat a lot, but it was a cold sweat? It just felt cool. It felt cool. I could still feel sometimes the cool sweat on the back of her neck and hearing Mabel Maxine tell me stories about Jesus. There was no Google to fact check stuff or to find stuff. She had the old Thompson chain, King James Bible, and she'd look on the back and she'd look up scriptures and she would teach me at 9 and 10 and 13 years old, sitting on her lap, about the seven churches, talking to me about how whether you were hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I remember her telling me, someday you're going to pastor a great church. Somehow, she could see it, and she spoke into it. She said, someday you're going to pastor a great church. He said, there's certain churches that in these seven churches that God put an angel on those churches. And there's churches that God doesn't put an angel on, and those are man-made churches. And to prove this, the Bible said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So there are some churches that God's angel isn't there. And a church doesn't mean a building. We're in a high school. But by the way, this high school is free from shooting and terror. And it's come up in all of its grading and all of its ratings because it's a church. Come on, somebody. We pay $13,000 a month. $13,000 a month to this school to be here, but they technically should pay us because there's an anointing that is released in this place. The pregnancies are down, shootings are down, terror is down, drug is down. Somebody ought to give God praise today because there's an angel in this church. When you come here and worship every Sunday, it scares the hell out of hell and it releases God's favor. Earth City, Ferguson, Weldon, RPC, all the other ones that I forgot. You can be seated for one more minute. There's a story in Revelations, and my grandma read it to me about how there's the great white throne judgment, and that's where we will all be judged. But then there's the Bema Seat judgment, which is different. And this is where we will be able to be rewarded for our works here on earth. This is where we will be given these jewels that we throw at Jesus' feet as we're worshiping him. She began to describe this picture where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and God is there with all of his glory. And she said, David, one day you're going to want to go up on the front of that edge of that stage and you're going to be wanting to praise God. You're going to be one to throw these rubies and these jaspers and these crowns at the feet of Jesus. He said, there'll be some people that just have so much and they're giving to the Lord. But when you're out, you're out. And you can't buy it. It's not for sale. It's the things that you dear here on the earth that have eternal ROI, the eternal return on investment. Because you can't take the car with you, you can't take the boat with you, you just can't take stuff with you. You know, you see the meme that shows the hearse pulling a U-Haul, you just never see that. Because you can't take it with you. But what you can take with you is the little guy on the trail. It's the person next to you at work that you don't know is suicidal, but they're looking for hope. And if you'd bring them to church, they would get hope. When I think about today at Sunset Hills, think about it. You have 2,300 seats in that building right now with you. They're at Earth City, the same similar size, maybe bigger. But I think about 177,000 people every day drive past just one of our churches there on Highway 70. When I think about on Highway 30, all the thousands of people that drive by every day, and there's so many of those people drive by and they wonder what goes on in that big building. We should be known as a Holy Ghost hospital, free from judgment, where people can be embraced no matter what crime they've done, no matter what sin they've done, no matter what color they are, no matter how they were molested. If you knew what happened to them to cause them to be that way, you would have compassion because you would have perspective. But until we have perspective, we will never have compassion. And the only way that we can have perspective is if we say, come to church or we're going to love you. Come to church or we're not going to judge you. Come to church and we're going to sit next to you. Come to church. We're going to take you to lunch. I wish I had somebody to get a hold. If Jesus went to the cross and he died for us, we can lay down our pride, we can lay down our shame, and we can say, hey, guess what, God, I'll take you up on it. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Give God praise today. Come on, every campus, give him praise. Just stand with me for a moment. Nobody moving around. When I think about my grandmother today in heaven, and I often wonder sometimes, my dad. There's some days I hope to God they don't see what I'm doing or what I did. But more days than not, I think I wonder if they get to see this. Because this is what they spoke into me. This that you're sitting in today is what they saw as a little homeschooler who never graduated high school. Divorced, betrayed, hurt, rejected, really messed up. How'd you get here? God chose the foolish things of the world and confound the wise. That's how I got here. I have nothing to brag about other than like, man, life is really short. Really, really short. And the older you get, I know you're 19, you're like, I'm going to live forever and I'm invincible and I'm beautiful, and you are, but there'll be a day where you're like, oh my gosh, I need Botox and I need a facelift and what about night cream? You have conversations with people you would have never thought you would have about how to sleep and how to go to the bathroom and how all kinds of things. Raise your hand if you're having conversations now about all kinds of stuff. But remember, so the young people don't think I'm lying, remember when you didn't have any of those conversations, you thought, I look great, I feel great, and I'm invincible. And I'm a genius. Come on, raise your hand. Some of you are too arthritic. They're not raising their hand. It's only because it hurts too bad. Have you ever done that where you actually had to use a hand to lift up a hand? Anybody been there? You haven't lived till you go, oh my God. Have you lived long enough to where you actually wake up because your arm's sleeping? Come on, raise your hand. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't sleep because you're sleeping. You're not gonna sleep. I need to sleep. You gotta wake up. It's called circulatory problems. You'll get there. God willing, and the creek don't rise. I wanna affect you today to let you know. The only people that are gonna win, people that you know, are you. God's counting on you. I'm counting on you. count on you every week to invite people to church. And for the people that are like deep saints, I want goosebumps, and I do too. That's beautiful. But if church, if we get away from the main thing, when the main thing is to preach the gospel and it's all about you speaking in tongues and a prophecy and somebody telling you your door is red and tomorrow is Monday, and your name is Bob. I mean, if you didn't know those things, I can tell you that from your ID. Our job is to not get infatuated with some supernatural, mystical feeling and say the factual thing that God wants to do is to go out and tell everybody everywhere about Jesus. And you want to feel the greatest thing in the world? Go witness to people and get them to come to church. And you'll go, oh, man, don't say that, Pastor David, or sound was too loud. Church will really mean something to you. We need to clean it up. Why is that greeter weird? Come on, somebody. You'll have all kinds of different perspectives. Have you ever brought a visitor to church? If you haven't, you don't know what I'm talking about. But when you bring a visitor to your church, you're like, please don't let them speak in tongues. Oh, God, oh, God. Please don't let them run. Don't let that weird person yell really loud. Come on, raise your hand. These are facts, man. But I'll share with you this. My dad used to say, the thing you think is going to turn somebody off might be the very thing that turns them on. You know what's great about this church? God. And he's big enough to do whatever he needs to do in a room to set people free. He is more than able. Come on, every campus, sing it.
Come on, let's sing it out right here.
Sing it like you mean it. Come on now. Your hands toward me right now. I want to pray for you at every campus, Weldon, RPC, Fargus, in our city, something else, wherever you're at. God, I pray today that your power that was here so strong would infect our hearts. So when we leave today on Sunday, we will go out on Monday and we'll share our faith. We'll witness to people. We'll tell our story. We'll start systematically texting and developing rapports and relations to people to bring them to church. God, I pray for this high school that has to end it today, God. That every seat is full all the way to the back. I pray for RPC that it's full and the overflows are full. I pray that both the services at Ferguson are standing room only. God, I thank you that right now at Earth City, I see it. I know it's just packed out, but God, I thank you there. We're putting chairs all the way back in the bathrooms. I thank you, God, at Sunset Hills, they're all the way under the balcony and all the way to the top of the balcony. And there'll be a day where they say, we got to actually put monitors in the gymnasium. God, I thank you that Weldon, that people are getting evangelistic and they're going to multiple services there. And they've got wisdom there and direction there to do what they're called to do. God, I pray right now for our new campus in Fairview Heights, Illinois. That Illinois, they didn't want to, the devils in hell did not want us there. But God, you put us there. And God, you gave us the building. And you paid the building off. And now you're sending all the money to finish it up and to fix it up. And God, that'll be a church that'll change people's life and their trajectory of their life forever. God, thank you for using us. Now, I want you to kind of flip your hands to where you can see the palms of them. And I want you to look at them just for a minute. I'm almost done, but look at your palms. And I want you to prophesy to these palms. This has happened so many times in our church where we've raised up millionaires within our church. Say, these hands are anointed of God. They type all the right emails. They send all the right texts. They sign all the right deals. These hands are authorized dealers for prosperity. These hands are funders of God's will. These hands pay for television time. These hands buy churches, remodel churches. These hands are committed to Jesus and the work of Jesus. And these hands lay hands on the sick and they recover. These hands are blessed, strong, anointed. Now I want you to say this: I am healed, I am delivered, I'm happy, I'm courageous, I'm likable, I'm lovable, I'm giddy, I'm happy, I'm healthy, and I am whole. I do not associate myself with the world's disease, and no terror will come near us, our churches, or our proximity. No weapon formed against us will prosper in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a roar today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.